Blog Talk Radio.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. There will be place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you away. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. There has never been a step, but you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, cause joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sin. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more.
For joining me tonight one more time in another edition of Times of Refreshing Nights Torn. The veil has been torn and has given you access now to the presence of the living God. I love you all very much. It's been a while. It's been about a month. Latest news is my wife and I had our third baby girl, baby daughter. I guess God has given us a gift for girls. But anyway, beautiful. You know, she's nice and beautiful and healthy. Thank God. And I haven't slept. My wife hasn't slept. So I've been spending a lot of time with the baby and with my wife and working and, you know, ministry and all that stuff. So that I left the radio show sort of, you know, I took a break from it for a month. But now we're back. So please tell your friends, tell your family, tell the people that we're back and that we're ready to go. We're ready to preach the gospel of truth. Amen. And I know God is going to do something supernatural tonight. So I'm going to start giving out all the information that you need to log on online and plus to listen live on your phone. So if you have to leave, you don't have internet, you know, maybe on your phone doesn't want to catch the show, you can actually call this number, 760-888-5757. And you can listen to the show live. That is 760-888-5757, and you press 1. If you want to give a testimony, if you want to talk, you press 1. If not, you just stay there and you listen to the entire show. It's going to be powerful tonight. And I will be opening the lines very soon. So I'll be giving opportunity for people to call in, so start calling in right now. When I tell you now, you can go ahead and press 1. That is 760-888-5757. I'm going to give you an opportunity to either tell a testimony of what God has done in your life through this ministry. And also, you can also call in and, you know, you can tell a testimony of what God has done through this ministry. And you can also call in to ask for a prayer petition. We're going to be praying in just a minute. And, you know, I'm going to be giving you a teaching, a preaching tonight, a word from the Lord that I believe is going to impact all of our lives. Listen. We have to be led by the Spirit. One of the things that tells us that we have an identity as children of God is to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says that the true sons of God are the ones that are led by the Holy Spirit. So it's very important. So the name of tonight's message, tonight's radio show, is called The End of Time. Say The End of Time. And, you know, I've been doing this radio show since 2012 now. And since 2012, I've seen God do fantastic things. I've seen people receive miracles in their body, as I've seen people receive miracles in their finances. I have seen people be baptized by the Holy Spirit, or I've heard people being baptized with the Holy Spirit through these, you know, I would say webcasts or you can say airwaves or whatever it is, the internet connection. I mean, people have been delivered. There's been word of knowledge exact with people's names. Testimonies have been given concerning people got called by name by exactly the problem they were having. So we've seen all sorts of stuff. We're not tired of it. And, you know, I pray to God that you pass this message around. Let me tell you what happens in a time when Jezebel's ruling over the church, which is, you know, Jezebel's reign is coming to an end. However, Jezebel's time over the church is still there. I mean, Jezebel still has, what do we call it, a grip over the church nowadays, over most of the church. And one of the things that Jezebel has caused at that time, in which Jezebel was on the earth and causes now, is that Jezebel causes the prophets to go into hiding. In other words, the prophets don't have liberty to minister in the pulpits no more. So they have to go into hiding, and they have to eat the bread and water given by Obadiah. Obadiah is a servant of God. The word Obadiah means, the name Obadiah means servant of God. So there's servants of God that begin to teach and begin to cater to the prophets and begin to sort of, you know, give the prophets the bread and the water, which is the equivalent of presence of God in the revelation. So the prophets right now are in hiding in caves. They're going to begin to come out of their caves. And then when they come out of their caves, the churches are going to be to call upon the prophets because they're going to need a word from God. We're all blessed to have a prophetic voice in our midst, to have prophetic voices that have blessed us. But we have to believe in the prophets if we want to prosper. That's what the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the prophets and you shall prosper. The oldest ministry in the world, out of all the ministries that we have in the church today, the oldest one is the prophetic ministry. So it's very important. As a matter of fact, the newest ministry, believe it or not, is the ministry of apostles. That's actually the newest ministry out of all the ministries. So I need you to understand, it's very important, brethren, that we are living in the last hour, the end of time, the last days, the last moments before eternity. And we are increasingly seeing the opposition to the truth, the opposition to the gospel. And what is the gospel of the kingdom? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news revealed with power. The good news with power. If you have the gospel without power, it's just news. It's not good news. Can someone say amen? So we need the gospel to have. I'm going to open up the line, 760-888-5757. I don't know how many people have stayed loyal to us because we have been gone a month. This is the longest we've ever been gone since the year 2012. So I don't know how many people have stayed true to our ministry, have stayed faithful, waiting. But 760-888-5757, press 1 if you want to testify, if you want prayer, if you need prayer. And we're going to begin to seek the presence of God together. That is 760-888-5757. I'm waiting for some phone calls to come in. And if no phone calls come in, then no big deal. They will come in when they come in. And we're going to begin just talking about the Lord, about the end times. But let's pray. I want to pray. And I want to just enter the presence of God with my brethren tonight. I want to just enter the presence, the sweet, 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 holy presence of the Lord. A beautiful presence that empowers us. I want to enter there. I want to go with you there. I want you to humble yourself right wherever you are. Let's humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. We give you praise. Father, you are worthy. You are holy. You are righteous. You are faithful. You are the true great I am. You are the beginning. You are the end. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Father, we need you more than the air that we breathe tonight. We come right now recognizing your power, Lord God. We recognize your holiness. We recognize your glory, Lord Jesus. We recognize that you are the mighty King of kings and Lord of lords, that you are the creator of the heavens and of the earth, that there's no other beside you, that there's none like you, not in heaven, not on earth, not under the earth. Father, we are so thankful for bringing us here. We are so thankful for placing us on this planet to be a blessing even unto the nations, Lord God. Thank you for giving us a sphere in which we can minister. Thank you so much because you've placed us in the right place at the right time. Thank you for your process, oh Lord God, in our lives. Thank you for pruning us. Thank you for preparing us. Thank you for cleaning us. Thank you for cleansing us, oh Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for using us. Thank you, Father, for the air that we breathe, for the food that we eat and the drink that we drink. Thank you, Father. You are so worthy of honor, glory. Thank you so much. You're worthy of power. There's none other beside you, not in heaven, not on earth. Oh, Father, we declare that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning, and you are the end, oh Lord Jesus. You are the beginning, and you are the end, oh Lord Jesus. Oh, like you, there's no other. Beside you, there is none. There is no name given among men by which man can be saved except the name of Jesus. Oh, we worship the name of Jesus. We exalt the name of Jesus. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We are in need of a time of refreshing tonight, oh Lord. We humble ourselves before the mighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, how we need you, Lord. 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 Oh, how we need you, Lord. 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 I want you to worship with me. I want you to worship with me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great, you the miracle so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great, you the miracle so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Blessed is the name of Jesus. Father, we don't want to go without your word, oh Lord. We need your word like we need food every day. We need your presence like we need water every day, like we need drink. Father, fill our spirit with your revelation. Fill us with your presence, Lord God. We need you more than the air that we breathe, oh Yeshua. Oh, I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. Than ever before, I need you more. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe. More than the song I sing. More than the birds I sing. More than anything. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I want everybody to just worship. Listen, you have not come tonight to this show to be entertained. Some of you may be angry right now. You want to hear about the rapture. You want to hear what dreams I have had. You want to hear these things. But you do not want to worship. I want you to just go into the presence of God with me. Let's all go together. We're one church. One church. Wherever you are, you're in Cincinnati, Ohio. You're in Chicago, Illinois. You can be in New York City. You can be in Toronto, Canada. You can be in London, England. You can be in Sydney, Australia. You can be in Tokyo, Japan. You can be in Singapore. You can be in Africa. Wherever you are in the world. I want you to give your life to Jesus tonight. There's a joy and a peace that is going to come upon your life when you give yourself to Jesus and you ask him for his Holy Spirit. Jesus says that he will not leave us alone. He will not leave us orphans. He will not leave us fatherless. He will give us a helper. He will come to us, and he will be the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the paracletos. And he will guide us into all truth, the word of God says. The Holy Spirit is the most important person on the planet. The most important person on the planet. It's time that we start to recognize the Holy Spirit. It's time that we start asking the Holy Spirit to come upon us. That we start loving the Holy Spirit. That we start loving Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for bringing us here. I thank you for every person listening, wherever they are, whether they're listening online, whether they're listening in the archives. I thank you for their lives. I pray that your presence may be upon me. I ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that you may anoint my tongue, that you may put fire in my words, that you may put passion in my words and may impart them to the people listening. Father God, I pray that you use me as a vessel of honor, a vessel for righteousness and holiness toward God for the people in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you pour out your love upon your people tonight and that you speak through me. I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. I declare that I am unauthorized to speak any words of discouragement or any words that do not come from God, but instead I will speak all the counsel of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And amen.
God is good. Someone say God is good. All right, all right. So it's been a long time. Got to catch up a little bit. Like I said before, I told you, brethren, my wife and I had our baby daughter. And it's been a blessing. You know, always it's always a little difficult, you know, on the eyes, in the body, you know. You don't sleep or you're tired and, you know, all that stuff. And I have full-time ministry and, you know, we've been going through a transition in our church and just been insane. I don't think I've ever been this tired like I've been lately, you know. But God has given me strength to keep going.
And right now,
we are starting tonight. We're going to talk about some of the things that Jesus spoke of, some of the things that are written in Scripture, some of the things that are, you know, that God wants us to know in the last days. Some of the people that are listening tonight are babies in Christ. Some of the people that are listening tonight are, you know, are experts maybe, or maybe they're more mature. But in the end, I think we all can learn something. I want to turn very quickly to 1 Corinthians. And when you have it, say amen, please. Someone say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to Jesus. I want you to repeat with me. Father, I humble myself to hear your will, to do your will, and to be a part of your will. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your word. The eyes of my understanding are open, that I may know the hope of your glory, the riches of your glory, and the power of your resurrection in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, glory to Jesus. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you have it, please say amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Someone say, the natural man cannot go to heaven. Say that with me. The natural man cannot go to heaven. Someone say, the spiritual man goes to heaven. So the natural man will not go to heaven. The spiritual man will. Can someone say glory? Verse 51 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Someone say, my change is coming. Someone say, my change is coming. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Someone say, glory to Jesus. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the resurrection of the dead. We'll go back to verse 51. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Someone say, the coming of the Lord Jesus is very fast. Someone say, it's fast. In other words, no one will see it coming. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, it says, behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. That coming that he's talking about there is a different coming. Someone say, a different coming. The coming that he's talking about there is the second coming where Jesus comes to reign on planet Earth. Someone say, where Jesus comes to reign on planet Earth. If you understand the difference today, we're going to talk a little bit about the difference. The difference in the two. Someone say, glory. And it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. So in other words, whoever remains will be transformed. Whoever has died in Jesus will be turned into a glorified body. We will all have the same body that Jesus had. we will be like Jesus. Can someone say glory? This corruptible body will put on incorruption. This mortal body will put on immortality. In other words, the way we are, our condition and our current state, where we are at right now, is no longer how we're going to be. If we understand this, then we're going to comprehend the will of God for our lives, which is to live a life of holiness. The Bible says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. For 1 John, I don't remember what chapter it says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. In other words, if you hope that you're going to be like Jesus when Jesus comes, if you hope to be taken with the Lord, then you have to purify yourself. Can someone say amen? Now I'm going to show you two examples of the coming of the Lord in the Bible. And God is so perfect that he shows it to us through two different men. Now in the Bible, there's three different events that it shows us specifically. And it's all done through one man, through one specific man. And it's three different events done by one man each time the event is done to show us examples. For example, the Bible says that Moses was dead and his body was not found. Is anybody here? Later on in the book of Jude, at the end of the Bible, it says that the archangel Michael was contending with the devil because the devil was fighting and was asking about the body of Moses. In other words, Moses disappeared, his body. That is a replica or a symbolism, right, or an allegory, or whatever you want to call it, for the resurrection of the dead. Someone say the resurrection of the dead. The body will no longer be located. Can someone say amen? Now, check this out. Then there is, I want you to go to the book of Genesis, please. I want to show you a replica, a spiritual replica of the rapture. Someone say the rapture. Some people don't believe in the rapture. The Bible doesn't make mistakes. Everything that is, was, there's nothing new under the sun. So God will always show us what he's going to do. He gives it to us before in some way that we need to discover it scripturally. Every big event that God's about to do, it's already written in the Bible, and he has already done it before. Back in the days, God destroyed the earth by water. Then in the new coming of Christ, he's going to destroy the earth by fire. Are we here? First he destroyed it by water, then he's going to destroy it by fire. So I'm going to say glory to Jesus. I want you to go to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Genesis chapter 5. In the genealogy of Adam, listen to this. This is very powerful. In the genealogy of Adam, there's only two men that come out having a relationship with God out of all those men. Two, and there's tons of them. Tons of people lived. But there's only two men that the Bible records having a relationship with God. I want you to go to verse 19. It says, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, if you were to read that by yourself, never having read any part of the Bible, you would not really understand that, and you would not make that a big deal. Except the Word of God says in the book of Hebrews that by faith Enoch had a testimony that pleased God, and it is impossible to please God without faith. So therefore, the Enoch testimony was the accomplishment of his faith. He lived a life of purifying himself, believing in the Lord, believing in more from God, and as a result, his testimony caused God to take him. Someone said, I need to build a testimony for myself. So Enoch had a testimony that pleased God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see that. He had a testimony that pleased God. I think it's verse 5. And in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Someone say, I want my reward. The reward of those who diligently seek God is the glory of God in the last day when Jesus comes He'll glorify your body. Can someone say amen? Now, I want you to understand that, pay attention, this is powerful stuff. When you look at Enoch, Enoch represents the church that gets raptured. When you look at Noah, Noah represents the Jewish remnants, the 144,000, the people that God saves from the Great Tribulation and make it all the way to the other side. Are we here? Pay attention. They both walk with God. They both have a relationship with God. But one man was at the right time seeking God. The other man, Noah, was at the wrong time seeking God. One of them was during the judgment. The other one was before the judgment came. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? Right now, we still have a chance, while it is still called today, to be raptured with God, to be taken with Jesus. We are the Enochs of this generation. Are we here? Now, I'm going to show you the last days, or the end of time, when Jesus comes to reign on the earth after the Great Tribulation passes, what that rapture is going to look like biblically. Like I said before, that which is what will come to pass. There's nothing new under the sun. When you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, I want you to go to Ecclesiastes real quick. When you have it, say amen, please. When you have Ecclesiastes, say amen. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. All right. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9 says, "That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun." Does anybody understand what we're talking about? Is there anything of which it may be said, "See, this is new"? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after. What am I saying to you real quick? Is that God will bring to pass the former things. He will bring them to pass again. It's a different generation. It might look different. It might not be as we pictured it, as we imagined it, but it will happen again. In other words, one time, God flooded the entire planet. Now God is going to scorch the entire planet. Are we here? Now remember, the same planet that God flooded still survived. The creatures might not have survived. Pay attention. The creatures might not have survived, but the fish did. Are we here? So in other words, God didn't destroy every single thing. The fish did not die, because the fish could not have died because it was water. Are we here? So we understand what we're talking about. But everything that creeped on the earth and that crawled on the earth did die. Now pay attention. Every human being died except for Noah's family. So what am I trying to tell you, brethren? It's very important that you understand that God will do it again. And he's going to save the remnant. And that remnant will start all over again the earth. Noah started all over again the earth. And he had a choice to make, whether to continue to walk with God or not, except he didn't. He began to drink wine. He began to abuse of what God had given him. Now, I want you to go very quickly to 2 Kings chapter 2. And I'm going to show you biblically. I will show you now an example, a replica of, I'm going to show you an example of the coming, the second coming of Jesus. So you understand this. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. All right. I want you to go to verse 11, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. This right here is a symbolic revelation of the second coming of Christ, when the angels are sent forth to take the remnant of the earth. Are we here? Of the elect. One of them, it says, and God took him, and he was not. In the other one, it says, you're not understanding what I'm saying. For those people who are confused about the rapture versus the second coming of the Lord, this is where people get confused and they think that the rapture of the church is at the end of the Great Tribulation. That makes absolutely no sense, because the purifying of a bride will be purposeless completely if the bride died. The whole purpose is to catch the bride alive with a pure heart. You shouldn't have to kill the bride for her to be purified. Are we here? So the bride of Christ will marry Jesus and reign with him 1,000 years with a glorified body and be like Christ has to be purified in life form. Are we understanding what we're talking about? And if a person does die, let them not die a martyr's death, but rather live the life of accomplished faith, live a life of a testimony that pleases God, go to paradise and wait for a resurrection time. But you can't tell me that the entire bride of Christ is going to be purified by being killed. That makes absolutely no sense. That is stupid. Anybody who thinks that has no understanding of how God's mind works. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. So that means that if a person thinks that Jesus is not coming for a bride and is going to save them from wrath to come, that means that person doesn't have the mind of Christ. Because if you have the mind of Christ, you wouldn't think that way. How is it that Christ, the greatest husband that has ever walked planet Earth, is going to go ahead and have his wife killed just so that he can see if she's truly pure or not? Are we here? The Bible says that God sees the heart of man. Why will God look for the heart of man when man is already in heaven with him? He wouldn't. He would look for the heart of man here. When God sought after a man after his own heart, he looked for David. David was alive. David was not dead. Someone say David was alive. He was not dead. God is looking for a pure heart. The Bible says that God is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say that God is seeking those who worship in spirit and truth in heaven. If that was the case, God would be seeking angels. Huh? Are we here? If that was the case, God would be seeking cherubim. If that was the case, God would be seeking seraphim. If that was the case, God would be seeking the people who died and gone to paradise and are waiting for a resurrection, for a prophet. Are we here? So why do we listen to the people out there who have wrong eschatology? There's a lot of things going on right now in the world. A lot of the churches are getting confused. One of the things that God showed me a few years ago, and I shared it here, and I'm going to share it again, is that the spirit of Babylon, the Babylonian entities, are upon this government. You got to understand something. The government of Ahab and Jezebel was this way. Jezebel was influencing the synagogues, the church of that time, the spiritual part of the kingdom of Israel at that time, which will be kingdom of God or the church, right? What we call the kingdom of God, we're talking about the gospel. The gospel of that time, which was the law and the prophets, was being influenced and manipulated, and listen to me, and damaged by Jezebel. Jezebel was causing people to turn to Baal. Jezebel was causing people to commit immorality. Jezebel was causing people. Today, Jezebel is doing the same thing. Jezebel is shutting the mouth of the prophets so the prophets don't speak truth. Instead, they speak lies. The prophets that have become false through immorality. The prophets that are false prophets. They never were prophets to begin with. Are we understanding what we're talking about? Jezebel has caused that today. Ahab, what was Ahab's function? Ahab's function was to be corrupt within the government system. He was a corrupt king. He was a corrupt king in the government. Jezebel was a corrupt queen in the church. Are we understanding what we're talking about? So today's two principalities that are ruling over the entire planet, over the church of Jesus Christ and over the entire planet, are the spirit of Ahab and the spirit of Jezebel. However, pay attention now. However, if you want to talk about the spirit of this time that we're in, what is happening now, we're talking about Babylon, because the word of God says, in the book of Revelation, it shows us that there will be a great Babylon, and Babylon will have a daughter. The daughter of Babylon is a church, is a false movement, is a false church, any false church. Doesn't have to be the Catholic Church only. It's any false church that commits adultery with the word of God, that brings merchandise and puts money before God, a church that is ruled by mammon, now ruled by Jesus. Are we here? Are we understanding what we're talking about? So the spirit of Babylon has come upon the church. And as a result of that, confusion has come. So there's people that are anointed that might have a relationship with God, might pray a whole lot, but because Babylon is upon us, they have not learned to discern certain things and they've become confused. The word Babylon comes from the word Babel, and the word Babel means confusion and mixture, meaning people get confused, people mix things that they're not supposed to, they end up mixing the law and the grace. They end up mixing, are we here? They end up mixing, false prophecy with true prophecy. So we have to take care of ourselves, and we have to make sure that we do not eat of the things that Babylon is offering, that we do not partake of the sacrifices of Babylon, that we do not put rap music in our altars, that we do not put heavy metal in our altars, that we do not, are we here? There's a big difference between you coming into an elevator and listening to a secular song, or you being in band class and listening to secular music for the purposes of learning how to play music. Another thing is you trying to make music holy and putting it in God's altar and worshiping with that. Are we understanding what we're talking about? It doesn't glorify God. It is confusing. Someone said that's the work of Babylon. So in the times that we're in right now, the church has become the daughter of Babylon, the product of Babylon, the fruit of Babylon. Not in the entire church. Some of the church. I will say maybe a lot of the church. I'm not going to say most of the church because I'm not all over the world. I'm only here in the United States, and I have connections in South America and in Central America. So I can see the condition, and everywhere that I've gone, I've seen the same exact things. The love for money is abound. The iniquity is abound. The love of many has grown cold. I will hear the heart of people has been hardened by hurts. There's people that are hurt. There's people that are oppressed in the house of God. Are we understanding what we're talking about? No one, there's very few people that have answers. What are the answers? Are we here? So in the Bible, we see two different references to the rapture. Two different references to the coming of Jesus. One is Enoch was taken by God himself. Someone say Jesus will take us himself. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. And I'm going to show you how Enoch's taking is the church's taking. Versus Jesus taking is the Jewish people, the Jewish remnant, and all the elect that are left behind that finally made up their made up their minds for God, and their hearts are now toward God and have somehow managed, and God by His grace and favor, by His mercy has spared them, has spared their life throughout the entire throughout the entire tribulation. And you're gonna see how one of them is one and the other one is the other. If you learn this today, I want you to take some notes. You're not gonna be confused no more. Everything that God wants to do, every big event that God wants to do in the last days, it already happened somewhere in the scripture. You just have to find it. You have to make sense of it, and you have to be revealed it. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me show you something. I'm going to show you some little bit of revelation. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Praise God. Someone say praise God. I want you to go to verse 9. Actually, I want you to go to verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Someone saying, let's not be ignorant. Now remember, eschatology is end times teachings. That's what the word eschatology means. That word is becoming very popular. There's somebody that put a page, a forum, called Eschatology Forum. And it's become very controversial. There's a lot of poor, confused people that are there, Christians that are very confused, that have a spirit of confusion operating in their lives, unfortunately. But check this out. Verse 13 says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. In other words, it's trying to tell you that we too, because Jesus died and rose again, we too have hope that we will die and rise again. Someone say glory. Now remember, Jesus' consciousness did not die when he died. His body was dead, but his consciousness went down to hell. Are we here? I'll say that one more time. In other words, just because you die, it doesn't mean you go into silence mode. Your death physically, of your physical body, all it is, very simply, is you leaving this shell to go somewhere else. I need you to understand that you dying in your body doesn't mean you're going to close your eyes and be in darkness until somehow, someday, God wakes you up again. It doesn't work that way. You leave your body and you go somewhere else. You go to another location. If you believe in Jesus, you are saved and you live a life of faith, a life of holiness, that means you're going to go to heaven. But if you don't, and if you've had opportunity to repent, God is giving you plenty of chances. You're still addicted. You still got oppression. You still got sin in your life that you have not gotten rid of. You're unrepentant. You got unforgiveness. You don't pay to God. You don't give God his due. If this is you, then when you die, immediately you become separated from God and you go to a place called hell. And that place, hell, is like, imagine, compare a jail versus a prison. A jail is the place where people go so that they can wait for their sentence. The judgment comes, and then they get transferred to prison. The jail is bad, but prison is worse. Can someone say amen? Jail is hell. Prison is the lake of fire. I'll say that one more time. Jail is hell. Prison is the lake of fire. The judgment that's in between is the resurrection, the second death, where the resurrection happens to every single human being that has died at some point and has gone down to be in Hades in a waiting period. They're all locked up in cells. That's why Earth mocks a lot of what's going on in the spirit realm. A lot of the things, a lot of the concepts that you see in planet Earth are a mockery, are a copycat of something that's happening in the spirit realm. Thrones, where do you think thrones came from? Where do you think the concept of kingdoms came from? Where do you think the concept of a king came from? All that stuff came from heaven. Demons, angels, they realize that they can come to earth and govern over the earth through the sin of people. I hope you understand that the way the devil reigns, I'll say that one more time. The devil reigns through sin. Jesus reigns through our faith. I'll say that one more time. The devil reigns through our sin. Jesus reigns through our faith. Are we here? The Bible says that this is the victory that has overcome the world. Someone say, our faith. My faith has overcome the world. But the devil reigns in this world through sin. Are we here? Huh, hallelujah. The sting of death is sin. Can someone say? And the strength of sin is the law. Are we understanding what we're talking about here? So in other words, we're the end of days are upon us, and we have to understand what is happening here. It says here that not, for us not to be ignorant. Don't be ignorant of the teachings of the end times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 13 says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Someone say the Lord himself. I don't know if anybody caught me. Someone say the Lord himself. I'll say that one more time. Someone say the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Someone say glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in other words, someone say the Lord himself is going to come, and he himself will take us. It doesn't say he will send angels. There's no mention of angels. There's a mention of an archangel, because an archangel has that command to declare it to be done. Someone say glory. The archangel has the command to declare it to be done. However, the archangel himself is not the one doing it. There's no mention of angels here. Paul was a very smart man. Paul had a lot of revelation. If God would have revealed to him that there was angels involved, he would have put it. But since God didn't tell him, someone say he didn't put it. Now, I want you to go to Matthew 24. Someone say this right here is a rapture of the church. Like the time of Enoch, Enoch was not. He walked with God. Someone say he had a relationship with God. Someone say he had a relationship with God. And as a result, God took him. The earth, people were off. Judgment was coming. So God took him. Are we here? Someone say, God took him. God took him out of the way. Someone say, glory to God. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, thank you. God took Enoch out of the way because the testimony that pleased him was his faith. Hallelujah. Someone say, hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. So it says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Someone say there's no angels. Now, when you go to Matthew 24, check this out. This is where people get confused. Matthew 24. This is where people get confused. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. It says here, verse 29, Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man. They will see him. See, in the time of Enoch, no one saw Enoch leave. No one saw God take Enoch. And what Apostle Paul is saying, the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and we who are alive and remain. Anybody here? There's no, Apostle Paul is not saying that anybody will see it. He's saying that the event is solely for us, the church. Here Jesus says that people will see him. The tribes of the earth will mourn. People will mourn. He says, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he, God, Jesus, will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And this is where people get confused. They hear, they read the trumpet of Paul. They read the trumpet of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. They read the first Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. And they associate that trumpet with this trumpet. God moves with trumpets. When God announces something to be done, he does it with trumpets. So it doesn't mean that it's the same exact trumpet. Are we here? And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The angels are gathering the people. Someone said the angels are doing it. So here is no longer Jesus the one doing it. The angels are doing it. In the other one, it says the Lord himself will catch us up. It says we shall be caught up together to be with him. Here it says that we're not being caught up. It says here the angels are grabbing us. You're not catching on what I'm saying. In one of them, it says we shall be caught up. The word caught up means being taken aggressively, meaning our body will be supernatural, transferred to another location. We see a perfect example of the word harpazo, which is the word caught up, in the book of Acts chapter 8 when Philip baptized the eunuch. And the Bible says that Philip was caught up and taken out of there. In other words, no angel came and got him. God himself took him and transferred him to another place. Are we here? And it says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This right here symbolizes, are we here? This right here symbolizes, or rather, 2 Kings chapter 2 symbolizes this event that Jesus is talking about, which is when Jesus comes to rule and reign on the earth and to judge the wickedness of the earth, to judge this planet. When Jesus comes down upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives splits, according to Zechariah, when he comes to reign on the earth, then he's going to send his angels to gather together his elect. Before this happens, he has to take his church that has been purified. The Bible says that Jesus is coming for a bride without stains and without wrinkles and without spot, without blemish. He has to come for a bride. It doesn't say he's coming for a dead bride. He's coming for a live one. And as a matter of fact, when you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 because I want to clear this up so that we all understand the Bible properly and eschatology properly. Paul starts talking in verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, concerning the times and the seasons. Brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. In other words, the wrath that is coming, the cup of wrath that will be poured upon the planet, was not appointed to his church. When you read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the Thessalonica church is the most perfect church. Apostle Paul commends the church as being the greatest of all the churches. That church compares to the Philadelphia church that Jesus also commends. And interestingly enough, to the church of Philadelphia, Jesus says, I have the keys of David, and I will open up the door, and no one will shut it. And I will shut it, and no one will open it. When Jesus speaks to the church of Philadelphia, he says to them, because you've kept the word of my patience, because you've decided to wait, because you've waited as long as you have. In other words, we thought that Jesus was coming 1,500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,930 years ago. In the times of the apostles, they thought Jesus was coming. He didn't come. But in the church of Philadelphia, Jesus says to them, in that word that is forever, continues to live on today, that word says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is about to come from. Can someone say, I will keep you? In other words, just as you have kept something, Jesus will keep us. How is he going to keep us? He's going to take us out of this place. He's going to take us out of this place. The rapture is a mystery. Apostle Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, the coming of the Lord Jesus is a mystery, which is why many people don't understand it, because they need to have a relationship with God. They need to have to be delivered. They need to have their hearts being purified. The psalmist David said, create in me a pure heart, a new heart, and put in me a pure spirit. Can someone say glory to Jesus? You need to have a pure heart. You need to have a pure spirit before the Lord so that you can have a true relationship with God, that you can live a holy life, that you can every single day seek the Lord day and night until Jesus comes. Do not give up on your dreams. Do not give up on what God is about to do in your life. Continue forward. Continue forward. This is a race of faith. Race as to obtain the promises. Can someone say glory? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Is anybody understanding what we're talking about? I love the greatest comparison I see in the Bible between a Philadelphia church and an end time church that is happening today, the church that we see. I feel like the Philadelphia church is a remnant church. I feel like the Philadelphia church is a remnant church and the Laodicean church is the Babylonian church. And it's interesting enough, the word Philadelphia, I love this. I love getting into the meaning of words. It's funny because the word Enoch means dedicated to God or dedicated. So you have to be dedicated to God to be taken by the Lord. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Are we understanding what we're talking about? Someone say glory. Someone say glory. See, God is good. I'm showing you some stuff, right? Now watch. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love. So in other words, love of brothers. But the word Laodicea means of the people. In other words, the Laodicean church is a church where people have their own opinions about the way things should be done in the church. In other words, the Laodicean church is a democratic church, not a theocratic one. Are we here? The church of today is a church where people have all sorts of opinions, which is what we're confused about eschatology, which is what we're confused about the end times, which is what most people refuse to believe that Jesus is coming any moment now, which is why they live their lives how they want to live it. Let me tell you something real quick. If the church had the urgency, if every Christian or so-called Christian had the urgency that Jesus is coming at any moment, I guarantee, listen to my words, I guarantee that our churches, my church, will be filled every single service that I would open up. People will not miss their tithes and offerings. People will not treat each other bad. There will be no unforgiveness. People will be seeking me for deliverance all the time. People will be committed to God. I will have my altar full of Levites that will worship God in spirit and in truth. But the reason why there's such a struggle and such a fight and such a resistance to growth of ministries that are speaking the truth in love, the reason why there's such a resistance to the prophetic anointing, the reason why there's such a resistance and such an opposition is because the stagnancy, the state of the church is a Babylonian one. The eyes of the church or most of the church has been become blinded by the hardness of heart, has become blindness by the rejection of the anointing of God. You notice that Enoch was dedicated. His name means dedicated. He was dedicated to God. He had a relationship with God. He was committed. Someone say he had commitment. My God. Someone say he had commitment. And because he had this commitment, God decided to take him. I need to be committed to God. Say with me, I need to be committed to God. I need to be committed in my finances. There's people out there who make money and they don't give to God as due. Why not? What are you afraid of? Stop living in fear. God tells us that we must give his tithe, the tithe and the offerings to him. The tithe don't belong to us. So you honor God with your offerings, not with your tithe. Because you cannot honor somebody by giving them what belongs to them. You only can honor somebody by giving them a gift, which is what we give offerings. An offering is a love gift. It is a willful gift. It is a willing gift. Can someone say amen? So I encourage you that if you've been blessed by this ministry, if you've been blessed by this teaching tonight, that you go to paypal.com and you give an offering. Why is that? Because God will bless you. Why is that? Because you're doing it by faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do not live in fear. Live by faith. If God has blessed you, bless him back. Can someone say amen? God bless you before the foundation of the world. He loves you so much. But remember, if you want the blessings of God to be released upon your life, you got to do something. If you want life to go different for you, you got to start taking different actions. Can someone say glory to Jesus? So what am I telling you tonight? Elijah's rapture was the one where the angels come. Chariots and horsemen are angels. If you read it in the book of Revelation, it shows us that the demons that come out of hell, that all those demons, that it says that it sounds like chariots. Can someone say amen? So when angels are sent forth in masses, they come out as chariots. They look like a bunch of chariots. They sound like chariots. And does anybody understand what we're talking about? When you read in 2 Kings, I think chapter 8 or chapter 6, when all the people were coming against Elisha and his servants, the Bible says that Elisha prayed that his eyes may be opened, and he saw the angels, all armies of God in chariots surrounding the whole place. So the angels that you see going up taking Elijah, the chariots that you see in the horsemen of Israel, those were the angels. Is anybody understanding what we're talking about? That took him. So God does it one way in one place, and another place, in another way in another place. Why does the scripture write it like that? It's not without purpose. Everything in the scripture has a purpose. Why did Moses die and his body was not found? Because it's a replica or a symbolism or an allegory or an analogy, an example of what the resurrection of the dead will be like. No one will be able to find his body. Therefore, no one will be able to find your body. Jesus' body was never found. Someone say Jesus was the first fruits of those who are asleep. Those people who died in Christ, Jesus is the first fruits, meaning the first batch. He's the first one. His body was never found. Jesus only appeared to the people who had faith in him before he ever died. Are we here? There's people that need to believe in the death of Jesus and the purpose of his death before they even receive the power of the Holy Spirit, because the resurrection comes after. Are we here? So Jesus' resurrection, Jesus, when he resurrected, he only appeared to those who believed in him before he died. He didn't appear to any of the Pharisees. That's why nobody else saw him. Nobody else could see him, because revelation, pay attention, the resurrection comes by revelation. It is a personal thing. It's a personal matter between you and God. The power of the resurrection of God is a personal matter between you and God. God has to see your purity of your heart before he gives you his power. Are we understanding what we're talking about? Glory to Jesus. My God, this is good. Are we learning something today? Are we learning something? So I'm going to tell you now the condition of this planet and how things are going on right now. And you're going to understand what we're talking about while we live in some of the things that we live in. And then we're going to go ahead and close for tonight. We all having fun? Glory to God, right? I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24, please. Verse 3 says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" I will hear. Oh, my God. It will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Someone say glory. "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet." Now, anybody understanding what we're talking about? I love what Jesus says here. It says here in verse 10, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many will be made to stumble, brethren. Many will betray one another." I have seen in the last 4 years of my ministry more betrayal inside the church that you have no idea. Betrayal after betrayal, hating after hating, talking behind people's backs, and over again I've seen it. I've seen the deception that people have fallen into. I've seen Christians turn Hebrews. I've seen Christians trying to be Jewish. Are we understanding what we're talking about? And because lawlessness, the word lawlessness is the word iniquity. That means continual sin. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So that means that the sin that's in the world is causing people's love to grow cold. People are desensitized. Before, you used to watch a TV show and it used to blur when something bad was happening. Today, Facebook allows it without blurring. YouTube allows it without blurring to be put. Today, if you wanted to see a decapitation, you could easily look for it on YouTube. Today, if you wanted to see a shootout, you could easily see it on YouTube. Today, on Facebook, you could see a massacre of people and you can watch it. Before, that's the type of stuff you would see in movies. And even in movies, the movie was rated R, rated TVMA. before you could even watch something that was pretend, that it was fake for me to make you believe it was real. Today, you can see the real stuff. People are desensitized. People don't say thank you when you open the door for them. Better yet, most people don't open the door for anybody. Are we here? People get into fights for no reason. People are so sensitive, they get easily offended about everything. Everybody's touchy-touchy. People are grabbing guns, and because they're offended, they're easily offended, they go into a mall, and they're shooting people. People are not safe in the movie theaters. People are not safe on the bus. People are not safe in the car. If you're the type of person that you drive and you're a little bit impatient, somebody gets stupid to you on the road, somebody flips the middle finger, I suggest you stay quiet because you don't know if the person's carrying a gun. Nowadays, you don't know who's going to get out of their car and do some harm to you and your family. So learn to control yourself. That's why we seek the power of God. We seek the presence of God. And as a result, we produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. Are we here? What is happening in the last days is that all the big dogs that made it in the 90s, all the preachers, the big dogs in the 2000s, they made it. They're in their positions, and they're refusing to let go of their throne. They're refusing to let go of their mantle, to pass it on to someone else. As a result, there's prophets in caves right now stuck. Are we here? There's prophets that are stuck in caves right now that don't know what to do, that are seeking and seeking and seeking God, and they're expecting. They're waiting for God to release them out of the cave so they can have a ministry to speak into. Are we here? There should be prophets in every church. There should be prophets in every ministry. There should be prophets ministering constantly. Can someone say glory? It is okay. Someone say, God, I need prophets in my life. You need to surround yourself around prophets, because if you're surrounding yourself with prophets, as a result, you'll begin to dream and you'll begin to prophesy too. Hallelujah. Someone say glory to Jesus. Jesus says that the tribulation that will come upon the last days will be such great tribulation, such as the world has never seen, and nor ever shall it be seen. That has not yet happened. The Apostle Peter said the world will be scorched with fire. That has not yet happened. So for people who are confused about the fact that Jesus already came, some people are saying that Jesus came and that the resurrection of the dead happened in AD 70. Well, that's not true whatsoever. The reason why that's not true is because the earth didn't get burned. There's all sorts of scriptural, biblical, and historical record of the events that happened in the Roman Empire, in Jerusalem, at the time of the Roman Empire destroying Jerusalem. There's no record whatsoever of the entire earth being scorched with fire. Are we here? There's no record of that. But yet it says in the Bible that it will happen. There's no record. Pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. There's no record of the gospel of the kingdom being preached into every single nation. That has not yet happened, which is why we're still here. We're still preaching the gospel. We're still declaring. Anybody here? Someone say, I need to know the condition of man in the last days. Before Paul left, Paul had a revelation. I believe that it was revealed to Paul that he will no longer see the coming of the Lord. He knew he was going to die. Throughout all of Paul's letters, he always speaks of Jesus coming as if it's going to happen in his lifetime. Except in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Why in 2 Timothy chapter, sorry, except in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, Paul is already at the end of his life. He knows he's ready to die. Actually, in 1 Timothy also. But in 2 Timothy even more. He had about a month to live. He died about a month later. Paul died approximately, they say, about AD 65 or AD 67. Are we here? So Paul, before he died, he had a breakthrough. He understood that the coming of Jesus wasn't yet. Are we here? Which is why he included himself. He said, we who are alive and remain, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we who are alive and remain shall be gathered up together with them to be in the clouds, and we will always be with the Lord, therefore comfort each other with these words. He said, we who are alive and remain, right? The reason why he said that is because he thought Jesus was coming soon, during his time. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's ready to die. He knows Jesus is not coming yet. And he says this in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Remember, this whole time, all of the apostles have been saying they're in the last days. Yet here it says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Now he's speaking of the last days as a future event. Yet throughout his whole career, throughout his whole ministry, he's been talking about it as if they're already there. But now he says, in the last days, as in the future. Are we understanding what we're talking about, the difference? For men will be lovers. It doesn't say men are lovers. It says men will be. He's telling you the spirit of Babylon, the spirit over the church, the the spirit of Babylon will cause the church to be a Laodicean church. The Laodicean church will behave in this way. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Jesus said you cannot love money and love God, for you will hate one and love the other. You cannot serve two masters. You have to serve one master, and that is Jesus. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Are we understanding what we're talking about? Paul is giving us the condition of mankind before Jesus returns. Someone say, more than ever, that is now. Hallelujah. So for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I want you to tell me right now that you don't know at least five people at the top of your head that fall into most of these qualities right here. And the problem is that it says, from such people, turn away. It doesn't say from such people, hang out with them. It doesn't say from such people, eat with. It doesn't say with such people, go to their house and sleep over. It doesn't say for such with such people, get married to. It says from such people, turn away. In other words, God is trying to protect you from being defiled by other people's mentality. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Good habits are corrupted with bad company. In other words, you could take the good that's been taught to you, the good that has been imparted to you, the good that you've grown up with, the instruction of God, the law of God that has been written in your heart, put into your mind through instruction, through discipleship, through constant consecration to God, through fasting and prayer, through impartation, and you can take that and ruin it simply by hanging out with a person who speaks like a worldly person, by hanging out with somebody who has a dirty mouth, hanging out with somebody who has a negative attitude, who everything's negative, who doesn't walk by faith but walks by sight. You have to walk by faith and not by sight. Most people today are walking by sight and not by faith. What I can get from this person, how can I take advantage of this person? Hallelujah. My God. Traitors. I have seen people tell me the world, and I don't like putting myself as an example because I don't want you to think that I'm a suffered one, that I'm a victim. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm putting myself as an example very quickly because I have lived it many, many times, and I know what Paul means by traitors. I have seen people come into my life, in my ministry, and promise me the world. I'm talking about promise, big promises. I'm not going to tell you what type of promises, but let's just say that they're promises that can advance this ministry in the kingdom of God, and of course my life as well, financially and in every possible way you can imagine. And I've seen people promise me great things, and the people at the last minute before they receive the blessing, or right when they receive the blessing at the last possible minute, they listen to Satan's voice and they end up betraying. Are we here? I have seen it. I've seen traitors come into my ministry, promise me they're going to serve in my ministry. They get mad at correction. They get upset. They're headstrong. They're haughty. They're boasters. They love themselves more than they love God. So what happens is when you correct them, they end up hating you. Because the Bible says that a scoffer will hate you when you correct them. But he says, rebuke a wise man and he will love you the more. So what am I saying to you? Condition of man before Jesus comes. Apostle Paul was saying of a future. Remember, he died very close to 70 AD. If the last days were 70 AD, he would have said, now, he would have said, men are lovers of themselves. Men are lovers of money. He says they will be. That means in a future. I don't know when, but in a future. But better yet, I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's death is upon him. It's happening. It's coming. He says to him, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There will be a time. It doesn't say the time was then. It says the time will come. He doesn't know when it's going to happen, But he knows there's going to be a time that's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who is they? Someone say Christians. My God, you're not understanding what I'm saying. Who is they? He's talking about the church. He's not speaking of the people in the world. The people in the world will be the people in the world. The people who are in darkness are in darkness. The people who do not want to be delivered, they don't want to be delivered. Have you ever gone to a smoker and offered to pray for him so he can stop smoking? I've had more people tell me that they don't care to get my prayer to stop smoking than people who want to stop smoking. I've had more people tell me, no, I don't want your prayer, than people tell me, yes, I need deliverance, so please help me. So what does that mean? They're headstrong, they're haughty, they're boasters. They like their condition. So what am I saying? Paul is not talking about the people in the world because he understands that the people in the world will be like the people in the world. The sons of disobedience will act with disobedience. That's what they'll do until a day of repentance, until God comes to visit them, and they finally humble themselves before the Lord. Paul is talking about a church here. He's talking about there will be a church that will do this. It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Heap up means they're going to bunch them up. They're going to make them famous. They're going to exalt them above the prophets. They're going to put evangelists that speak nice things to you all the time and that speak positive things to you all the time, and they're going to go ahead and exalt pastors and teachers who will exalt, who will tell them nice things and pretty things about prosperity, and will tell you how God loves you and God blesses you. No matter what you do, you're okay. Everything's fine. You don't have to change. Jesus did it all on the cross of Calvary. They'll say stuff like that to manipulate your thought process. But the Bible says, do not be conformed unto this world. I mean, then people are, if you're a pastor, if you're a teacher, the preacher you're listening to, is making you be like this world, then that means that preacher is not talking by the mouth of God. Because if a teacher is talking by the mouth of God, he will never try to make you like the rest of this world. He will never try to make you like the people out there in the world. He will never make you conform to this world. People in this world are humanists. People in this world put people's priorities and people's personal matters before they put God. People will put the things of people before they put the things of God, which is why people get so offended at the preaching of the truth, because it invades their privacy. It tells them God is greater than your personal problems. God is greater than your current opinion. God is greater than your reasoning. God is greater than your contradictions. Can someone say glory to Jesus? So we're going to come to a time that we need to understand when Paul spoke these words, he said there will be a time when generally whoever reads this word will understand what I'm talking about. In other words, it wasn't that time, because at that time only a few churches were reading it. He said it's not now, it's at some point. I don't know why I'm saying this, but by the spirit of prophecy, God has revealed to me that there will come a time in which more people will probably read this and they will understand. The ones that have their eyes open will understand what I'm talking about. And what I'm talking about here, Paul says, is that there will come a time in which they will not be able to endure it. They cannot stand when you speak to them serious truth, when you speak to them a gospel of power, when you speak to them a convicting word, a word of rebuke, a word of admonition, a word in which will get you and transform you and change you into the image and likeness of the Son of God, a word that will beat you and beat the flesh out of you and will take the spirit, your spirit, man, truth of God in you in love. Can someone say glory? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. People will have their own desires, and as a result, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers who will speak to them according to their own desires, their own lust. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. There's preachers on TBN that don't open their Bible. Instead, they tell fables. They tell stories. And that's a, and everybody turns to these preachers. Oh, wow. He talks so pretty. She talks so pretty. Wow, that's really awesome. My favorite is preachers who know how to preach, who God gave them the gift of preaching. Perhaps they even have the Holy Spirit. Perhaps they even speak in tongues. Yet they never minister the power of God. So their preaching says they're preaching, but then they never minister the power. Whatever happened to casting out demons out of a church that is filled with from Babylon? Or out of a church who's contaminated with Jezebelic influence and Ahab influence? Anybody here? Someone say glory. But look what Apostle Paul says. He says, but you, he's talking to me. He's talking to you who are listening, who are in the truth, who love this ministry, because this ministry does not compromise. Because no matter how we've been attacked, no matter how many times we've gone through tough situations that you wouldn't even imagine, no matter how much resistance, how much opposition we've gone through, we are still here preaching the gospel of God. But you be, he says, you be watchful in all things. and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. In other words, do not worry about what people think about you. Do not worry. You need to be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word. You need to do it with all long-suffering and teaching. You need to convince. You need to rebuke. You need to exhort. You need to be constant in the preaching of the word, because there's a time that's coming. And I don't know when it is. When the time comes, that time, whoever's reading this needs to understand this word. My God, is anybody here? So he's talking to Timothy, but he's also talking to a future generation to come. Well, Paul didn't know that. He didn't know how long it would be. He didn't know that 1900 and something years later, we'd still be here waiting for the coming of the Lord. But now it's closer than ever, because now we finally got the revelation that perhaps they didn't have, which Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 3, right before he dies. Right before he dies, he was writing 2 Peter chapter 3. And he writes and says one of the most incredible things that have been spoken in the Bible by any man of God, that by revelation we understand now. We know that the earth was 4,000 years old when Jesus came. We know that the earth is 2,000 years old there than when Jesus came. So now 4,000 years plus 6,000 years plus 2,000 years is an equivalent of 6,000 years. The Bible says that God created man. In man created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The seventh day is the day of the Lord. You're not understanding what I'm saying. That's the Sabbath day. That's the day of rest, the day of the Lord. So the first 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. So then Peter says something very strange, very powerful. Peter says something very, very strange in verse 8, 2 Peter chapter 3, right before he finishes the letter. He says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, this is powerful. We finally understood that if a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, God is saying that for 1,000 years of us is as one day to the Lord. God never does anything big without ever having done it to show us in the scripture so that we can learn. He created the heavens and the earth on purpose in 6 days, and it took 6 days for man to bring it to an end. Pay attention. 6 days in God's time is 6,000 years for us. Are we here? So now we are at the end of the 6,000 year. We don't know exactly precisely when the 6,000 year comes to a complete halt. But we do know that when it does happen, Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, he will come to reign upon the planet. And when he comes to reign upon the planet, brethren, he will reign for 1,000 years, which is exactly one day to the Lord. And that one day is the day of rest. That one day is the day of the Lord. That one day is the day that we rule and reign with Jesus, resting and having our rewards with him. Can someone say glory to Jesus? So I want to just dedicate this time unto the Lord. I want to dedicate this time to the Lord because years ago I was confused about this. When I was a teenager back in the 90s, I was so oppressed in my life. I was so oppressed by hormones, by loving girls and loving women. When I was a kid, you know, 17, 18, 16, and I wanted a bunch of things in life. And I also wanted Jesus, but I wanted Jesus my own way. And I was very confused. And I was so unworthy. I felt so unworthy. I felt so unholy that I always thought that when Jesus came in the rapture, I would never make it. Because at that time, everybody thought the rapture was coming in the year 2000. With good reason, of course, right? In the natural, of course. And everybody thought Jesus would come in the year 2000. And when he didn't come, people were confused. But the point is that it's very strange because I always used to say to myself, well, I have a second chance. Because if Jesus comes and I stay behind, I'll just get my head chopped off. And I didn't really understand what that meant when I said that. And the problem is that most people don't realize that. People who are going to get their head chopped off are people who are going to be given the strength by God to be able to do it. Be careful. Don't play games with God, because if that's your mentality, that was my mentality back then until I had an encounter with God. Once I had an encounter with God, that mentality changed. Once you have an encounter with God, confidence of who you are, a child of God, gives you identity. Once God set me free and delivered me, that I understood that I was protected from evil, I understood that I didn't have to be a sinner, that I didn't have to destroy my life, that I didn't have to stay behind, that I can go with Jesus, that I can believe to leave with Jesus, that at any moment he can come and I know he's going to take me, that I can be confident about that I can have assurance, that every single day I take care, I guard my own salvation with fear and tremble, that I knew I could do that, but because the grace of God has empowered me to do so. I knew that I could do that once I got an encounter with God, but before I ever had the Holy Spirit's power in my life, the Holy Spirit, the anointing that God has given me to preach the gospel, to prophesy, to, before I had any of that, I thought I was going to stay behind. But I tell you, be careful, because if you don't see God now and you deny him now, when you think you have the strength to not deny him, is when you might as well do it. There was a man named Peter, and Peter thought he was strong enough not to deny Jesus. But when overwhelming circumstances came, see, Peter, you're not understanding something. Peter didn't see God in the Garden of Gethsemane like Jesus told him to. So when Peter was put through temptation, he could not pass the temptation because he was not charged with God's power. Had Peter prayed with Jesus, perhaps he would have never denied him. But Peter denied Jesus because he did not go to pray when Jesus asked him to. So when you don't have a relationship with God, you might not be able to, pay attention, playing games with God, you might not be able to, brethren, you might not be able to stand in the presence of the Lord any day because you might not have the strength to do so. Stop playing games with God. Repent today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent from all your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Turn your head the other direction. Walk away from sin. Love on the Lord. Declare his righteousness. And I believe that you will go with him. Build a relationship with him. Seek the anointing. Seek the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal upon your life that Jesus will recognize when he comes. When Jesus comes, he will look for the Holy Spirit in you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you ain't going. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to rapture you. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord took Philip. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord will take Ezekiel from place to place. The Spirit of the Lord will take Elijah. In other words, the Spirit of the Lord is the one that's going to take us. When Jesus comes upon the cloud, the Spirit of the Lord is going to take us up to Jesus. Those who don't have the Holy Spirit, those who all they have is the remnant of when they believe in Jesus, a little bit of oil of when they first believe, when they first set out on the walk, a little bit of joy of one day they believed in Jesus and had this immediate joy, but they never went after the baptism. They never went to be filled. They have a little drop of oil, but they don't have the infilling of oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes the Holy Spirit. When Jesus comes, he's going to open the door, that door to that Philadelphia church, that door to those five virgins. You better be sure to be filled with oil so that you enter into those doors. Make sure you're the five virgins that are wise, not the wicked ones, not the foolish ones. That thing is not that important. The thing that you can play games with God. Get on your knees and pray. Seek the Lord Jesus. He's coming quickly. He's coming. Don't you worry. He's coming. I know some of you out there become sad and discouraged. We need to go to a church of power. You need to get laid hands on. You need to be around people that are people of faith, people that are of power, people that declare victory constantly. And I love you very much, brethren. It's been a pleasure tonight giving you the teaching. I hope you learned something. I hope that you can go home and listen to this over and over again, and that you can take your Bible and study, and God can open up your eyes and broaden your heart. I hope that God can really, truly enlarge your heart, that you may receive so much more from the Lord, that you may become more like him, and that you can just surpass me in knowledge and come back at me with great revelation. I love you all very much. I thank God for your life. And brethren, I really encourage you to help out this ministry grow and expand. Help us out financially. I don't ask for money because I want to be rich. I ask for money because we need it. You know, we all need money. This ministry needs money. Our ministry needs money. Our ministry is going through a transition, I'm a pastor. You know, I don't get paid for what I do. So, you know, send offerings to this ministry. Encourage people to give to this ministry. If you have people who own businesses and you want to, you know, be used as a kingdom sower to put us on the radio, to put us on television, go ahead and tell those people. If you have businesses and you want to show big and you want God to bless you, let us know. You know, we'll pray for your finances. We'll bless your finances, obviously. And that if you need deliverance in your finances, and you're a person of business, you have property, you have land, we can pray for all those things. But, you know, you have to be a given person. You have to be a generous person. Ask God to put that generosity in you. I've been given for many years, and I've seen God's hand in my life. But I know that there's more generosity to be activated in the body of Christ. And I know that God will raise up the sons of Sheba, the queen of Sheba. God will raise up the King Cyruses of this generation that will be stirred up to help out the kingdom to expand, to build the church for God. Can someone say amen? So I encourage you to go to paypal.com, and you can use the email ID slwchurch@gmail.com to send an offering, and you know, send an offering through there. Or you can go ahead and get in touch with us at slwchurch@gmail.com to ask us what other ways you can send an offering. And you can also get in touch with us, Pastor John C. Mora on Facebook. It's a bilingual page, mostly Spanish. Pastor John C. Mora, JEANC.MORA. Or you can go to Prophet J.C. Mora on Facebook. That's Prophet J.C. Mora on Facebook, M-O-R-A, Mora. Or you can go to Springs of Living Water Church on Facebook as well. Whichever one of those three pages you want to go to, you can go. You can write to us for questions or prayer requests. You can do so at slwchurch@gmail.com. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to answer back. I'm sorry. I have a very, very busy life, especially in the first 3 weeks of the school year. I have a very busy lifestyle, so, you know, bear with me, and eventually I'll get to you. Some people ask me for a lot of difficult things. Some of you ask me to prophesy to you and give you a word from God. And, you know, a lot of times I don't have anything for you. Sometimes I do. I don't want to lie to you. I'm not a false prophet. I don't just make up stuff on my own. I can give you sound advice. I can give you some advice on what to do. But, you know, and sometimes I just don't have anything at the moment. And in due time, I'll give you something. So I love you all very much. Please be patient with me. I'm only a human being. Some of you think I'm Superman just because I preach with power. Remember, I'm only a human being, and I do have my weaknesses as well, and I do get tired too. You know, so please don't abuse ministers. Don't abuse me. You know, I'll take it gladly for the Lord's sake and for the gospel's sake, but, you know, try not to abuse people, and, you know, be generous, be giving, and love one another, brethren, because, you know, don't be like everybody else. Make sure you change the world. Make sure you be the light in the world. Make sure you be the salt of the earth. Be different, because you have Jesus in your life. You need to ask God for the Holy Spirit every single day. Even if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, even if you speak in 1,000 tongues, ask Him for the Holy Spirit every day. You need to be refreshed. So I love you all very much, brethren. I bless you. I wish I would have had more people listen on live on the phone. I wish I would have had more phone calls. It would have been nice to be able to have some people call in for prayer. I love praying for people. I love praying for deliverance. But anyway, I want you to pass this message around. Post it on your Facebook. It'll be ready in about half an hour to an hour from now. It'll be ready in the archives to re-listen to. So in about half an hour to an hour from now, you should be able to go back and listen to it live. I mean, to listen to the archives of this show called The End of Time. I love you all very much. God bless you. I hope you learned something. I hope you're blessed. I bless you in the name that is above every single name, the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, brethren, for everything. Have a good one. I'll see you next week.